I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Happy to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We bid a hearty good morning to our friend Dave Richard, fantasy football expert for CBSSports.com. Dave, how has your offseason been, my friend? Good to hear from you.
It's great to hear your voice. It's going to be great to hear everybody's voice. What off season?
There is no off season. That is correct.
Listen, so my role changed a little bit during the off season, and I spent the off season studying up for the NFL draft and writing player profile and getting to know these rookies, because you kind of need to know them in fantasy football. And then part of my time this preseason has been spent at joint practices. I'm actually on my way to one today between the Jaguars and the Dolphins. You get a lot more out of those practices than you do out of a preseason game. I even saw the Commanders when they practiced against the Patriots. So I have logged a lot of mileage, my friend.
Very good.
What was your take?
Ready, and I've got the fantasy juice you guys want.
What was your take when you saw the Skins? By most accounts, the Patriots got the better of that day.
They did on offense. And it's really hard to tell with Washington's offense just because Terry isn't there. But I think they're trying to get Deebo Samuel to be used more as a downfield threat. And then Zach Ertz is just like the go-to guy when Jaden Daniels is under any kind of pressure. And I kind of love that for fantasy, and you can get Zach Ertz late. And I remember all the buzz at camp. And remember, this is, what is today, the 21st? So this is almost 3 weeks ago. The buzz all about camp was Ja'Cory Crossing-Merritt. Mm-hmm, and I remember looking at him next to Brian Robinson, and I thought to myself, you know, he's kind of smaller, and, you know, he might be a little bit quicker. And now everybody's kind of going crazy for him. I'm not so sure.
You're not sold?
I'm not. I think, and I don't know if the Commanders are either, and I don't think they have to be because of who else they have in that backfield. And so everybody's kind of rushing in fantasy drafts toward Crossing-Merritt. I'm thinking Austin Ekeler ends up being a bigger part of that offense than he was last year. Coaches are going to trust him more. He's more versatile. I think that offense could stand to be a little bit more versatile. And we know he can catch passes with the best of them. So I'm kind of looking for Ekeler this year, and I'm going to let everybody else draft Crossing-Merritt.
And Dave, he's going super late in mocks. I'm talking about Ekeler because I think people are they're getting steamed up for Bill Crossing-Merritt. So you can probably just wait around and grab Ekeler, like, I don't know, 9th, 10th round, or is his price going up?
Wasn't Ekeler a disappointment last season?
Well, two concussions.
Like from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, because he was injured.
So he did a great job in his role for the Commanders, and there were three games last year when Brian Robinson was out, and we saw Austin Ekeler average like 15 PPR points per game. Remember, the catches count big for Ekeler, and he's not quite as exciting if it's half PPR or non-PPR. But I can't resist. I don't think he's lost a lot. I don't think he's slower. I don't think he's bad. And I think I know that the running backs coach has been with Ekeler for a long time. I know he trusts them. And I just can't help but think to myself, all right, you've got all these running backs that are kind of unproven. Maybe the Commanders will be smart, especially with a second-year quarterback, to have a proven entity in that backfield. If they don't make any other moves, then I think Ekeler in that round 9, round 10 range is the way to go.
If you have a fantasy football question for Dave Richard, fantasy guru for CBSSports.com, give us a call at 1-800-636-1067. So since you said you've been bouncing around camps and we're talking running backs, what kind of year do you expect from the rookie Ashton Jeanty?
I think he's going to be pretty damn good. And the thing that I saw, you couldn't really tell in the first preseason game because his offensive line totally sucked. But the second preseason game, you saw a lot of the traits that you saw at Boise State, the low center of gravity, the balance, his ability to just bounce off of other human beings and continue moving his feet and moving downfield. He's got good speed. You didn't really see much of his hands. And you didn't see it last year either because they were trying to get him Barry Sanders' rushing record at Boise State. But he can catch the ball. Do you know that he was once upon a time an all-district wide receiver in Texas in high school. So there is a lot of great talent and athleticism with him. I think he's worthy of a first-round pick, but it's going to be toward the back of the first round if it's PPR, closer to the middle of the first round if it's non-PPR, because running backs get pushed up in that format. I think he's going to be pretty damn good.
All right, sticking with rookies, we don't know the breakdown for Travis Hunter offensively versus defense, but is he going to be worthy of a high fantasy draft choice?
So I think if you're using the term high, I'm thinking rounds 3 and 4, because there's no chance he's going to be even higher than that. And I'm going to say no. I don't think he's going to be worth it there. I think if you can get him, let's call it 60th overall. Let's get really, really detailed there. I think he'll be worth it then. The thing that he can bring to that Jaguars offense immediately is a reliable short area target who can make plays after the catch. And Liam Cohen, their new head coach, is their new play caller. He did a masterful job last year scheming up the Bucs. And I think he's going to do it again this year with the Jaguars. And getting that guy, Hunter, in position to catch, you know, short little 5-yard passes from Trevor Lawrence and get him on a track to where he can make a play after the catch, I think he can be potentially devastating. There's going to be some games the Jaguars win this year that they're not supposed to win because of Travis Hunter. And I would expect him to play, let's call it 75% of the offensive snaps, and then maybe, you know, 40% of the defensive snaps. I think they're going to try and use him a lot. And when he's out there, I think you could expect him to be good for a minimum of like 11 PPR points per game, but a ceiling. He's going to have some 20-point games this year.
Dave, you mentioned you're going to be at the Dolphins-Jags practice. I've got a lot of questions about the Finns. What do I do with Tyreek? I mean, he, to me, seems like a real, like, critical type of pick. Like, if he has a bounce-back year, I mean, we know what he can do at his peak of his powers. I mean, that guy can give you, like, 1,500 receiving yards and score 15 or more touchdowns, or he could be gimpy and banged up and underperform. And following in that, what's going on with Achan? Because I was high on him. Now I see he's a calf injury. Do we know how many, like, is he going to miss multiple weeks? Like, what's going to happen there?
All right, so a lot to get into here. Let's start with Achan. From what the Dolphins are saying, they expect him ready to go for week one. But nobody's really believing that. He's falling in fantasy drafts into round two. My advice is to buy the dip, because when he's right, we know that he's capable of potentially being the best running back in fantasy football if it's PPR, because he's going to catch a lot of passes. He's very, very fast, and the Dolphins are going to scheme him up a lot. This is going to be my second Dolphins practice that I'm going to attend. In the first one, Achan was all over the place. He was used on wheel routes and all kinds of screens and slants. They're going to use him a ton in that passing game. And so I would imagine that if you're getting him at a discount because of this calf injury, I think he's worth the risk, especially if we're talking round two. Now, Tyreek Hill. When I was at that first Dolphins practice, it was Jalen Waddle lighting things up against the Dolphins defense. It was not Tyreek Hill. And Tua Tagovailoa can't stop talking about the chemistry that he has to rebuild with Tyreek Hill. I think there's something going on there, and it makes me a little nervous to take Tyreek Hill based on what we know he can be. So I'm trying to draft him a lot closer to his floor than his ceiling. That being said, his floor is still really good. It could be as low as 15 PPR points per game. You can pencil him in for 1,000 yards. Can he get to 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns? I think that that's a bridge too far. If I can get Tyreek Hill in round three, I'm good with it. If I've got to take a pick in early round three or late round two to get Tyreek Hill, I'm going to pass. I'm going to look at some other wide receivers and PPR like Ladd McConkey, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Those guys are ahead of Tyreek Hill.
We're joined by Dave Richard on the Rude Guest Hotline. This is an important question. Are you team Saquon or are you fade Saquon after his amazing year last year with the Eagles?
So I did the research on running backs that are coming off of huge carry seasons. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Saquon Barkley, he had 482 touches when you combine the regular season and the playoffs, and 430 of them were carries. And again, that's regular season and playoffs. It's one of the highest amounts of carries and total touches that any running back has had since like 1990. It's crazy how much work he had. The track record of running backs that have that kind of work tails off the following year. It's anywhere from missing 7 games to losing 25% of their fantasy production. It's just, it's very rare when one of the running backs steps up. It's something like 7 of 28, I think, running backs did as good or better the following year. Saquon himself has had 2 years of his career where he's had over 250 carries or in a season, and he's dipped back at least 15% each of those two seasons, and he's missed three games each of those following seasons. So if you're drafting Saquon Barkley, you need to know this information that there's a realistic – first of all, there's almost no chance he's going to have 2,000 yards here, and that's crazy. But there's a realistic chance that he ends up missing a bunch of games and not being anywhere near as efficient as he was last year. We know he's not going to get any of those tush-push carries. Those are all going to go to Jalen Hurts. It makes me nervous to take Saquon Barkley with a top-five pick. But I'm okay with him toward the back end of round one because I think that he can still be good for 17 points per game, 1,600 total yards. Maybe he sees an uptick in catches. We know those receivers are banged up in Philadelphia. That offensive line's pretty good in Philadelphia. So I'm not necessarily fading him. I'm fading him based on his average draft position, which is third overall. If I can get him 8th, 9th, 10th, I'm okay with that. Otherwise, there's other players, there's other running backs for sure, like Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Christian McCaffrey that I'd rather have.
Dave, I know a second-year quarterback that you officially love that you have in your top 12. I know who that is. He plays in New England, Drake May. I know that you love him, especially loading up your team early and picking Drake May late. Do you advocate that for our listeners?
Absolutely. And I saw him practice against the Commanders, and really I was focused more on him than Jane Daniels because I know what Jane Daniels did. And May was very impressive. He did a great job of winning the pass rush. He made plays off schedule. He says he doesn't want to run more, but anytime there's an opportunity inside the 10 where there's pathway in front of him to run it in, he's going to run it in. And I almost feel like he was the type of quarterback that kind of elevated his wide receivers in the practice against Washington. And I like Washington's defense. I like their secondary. And they were getting beat by the likes of Kayshon Booty. Stephon Diggs rarely practiced that day. He had like five snaps and team drills. DeMario Douglas was one of his top receivers, Hunter Henry. Drake May was carving them up. He had a really good day. I think only two throws were off target. That's good. And I think just the rushing upside combined with the fact that he seems to be evolving as a passer makes him worth the risk as a top 12 quarterback. I moved him out of Justin Fields. A lot of people love Justin Fields because of his rushing potential. I can't stand him as a passer, and I'm worried about what this Jets offense will look like this year. So it's easy for me to take Drake May ahead of Justin Fields.
Where's a guy like Brock Bowers get drafted?
He's going to get drafted as a top 20 pick, maybe even top 15. I won't advocate for that. I think it's just too much. Going back to Genty, he's going to make the Raiders a good running team. And then the Raiders, I mean, Pete Carroll's the head coach and Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator. Do you really think they're going to throw the ball 40 times a game? I don't think it's going to happen. And so it's going to be a lot different than last year when the Raiders were fourth in pass rate and they didn't have anybody who could really run the ball. Now they've got the best rookie in the class running the football. That's going to take pass attempts off of Geno Smith's shoulders. It's going to take targets away from everybody in the Raiders passing game, including Brock Bowers. If you can get him, he's not even my favorite tight end in full PPR. I'll take Trey McBride over Bowers. And I love Bowers. You know how much I talked about him last year. But if we're talking the 2-3 turn, 25th overall, if you can get Bowers then, that's fine with me. But earlier than that, 15th, 10th overall, I've seen him go that high. He's not going to be like Travis Kelce.
Dave, how do drafters handle Rashee Rice? You mentioned Travis Kelce in that passing offense for the Chiefs. We know he's going to get suspended. He has his hearing on September 30th. That's in, obviously, the body of the NFL season. Like, how do you approach drafting him, and how does that impact like drafting Xavier Worthy from that team as well?
Okay. And when I said, Bowers can be Kelce, I meant Kelce back when he was a stud, not when he was, hanging out with Taylor Swift. Okay. So when you draft players, do you draft players and you go, oh, yes, I'm glad I got him because he's going to be a pain in the butt all season long? You don't say that.
Generally,
right? No one wants to draft a headache. And I'm afraid the Rashee Rice is going to be a big headache this year because we just have so much uncertainty regarding the suspension. We know that there's going to be a hearing on September 30th, or maybe not. We don't know if he's going to be suspended for 4 games, 6 games, 10 games. It could be anywhere in between. And we don't know when that suspension will actually even start. What if you draft Rashee Rice and he gets you off to a decent start, and then you don't even have him on the leadoff to your fantasy playoff? And he's taking up a bench spot for you. And there's just, it's too much. It's too big of a pain in the butt. Until there's more clarity, I'm kind of out on Rashee Rice. If I can get him in round 6, maybe I'll be willing to deal with it then. Then at least he's not as – I'll have five other players on my team that are going to be better, and I'll cope with it at that point with Rashee Rice. But if people are going to take him in round four and round five, I'm not in on that. And I think Worthy is the better bet anyway, because he's more explosive. He proved that he could hang in this league last year. And even Kelce, like, he'll be okay. I'd look at him in like round seven, round eight, somewhere in there. He's never going to make it that far, but if he did, I would take him at that point. But really, this whole Kansas City offense, I think it's going to come down to how efficient Worthy is. And if Worthy's good, Mahomes will be great. If Worthy isn't good, this offense will be kind of tepid like it was last year.
Hey, every year, and maybe you're still a couple of weeks away from announcing it, well, I guess maybe a week, you always have like a sleeper. Like a sleeper that nobody's really thinking about. He becomes your guy. Sometimes you weave him into your Twitter profile. Do you have a guy this year from bouncing around camps?
I have names, but I'm not ready to settle on the one name. And the thing that's really bothered me each of the last 2 years, I do a whole column on the guys that are on the sleeper list, and I always want the first name to be the guy.
Right.
It's been the second name on that list that has been the guy, and the first name has been either okay or, in the case of last year, absolutely fizzled out, and it was a total disaster. So I really need to make sure that...
Who were the second guys the last couple of years? Just
last year, it was Zach Ertz, who ended up being awesome.
It's a good one. Yep.
After a slow start. Yep. And then the year before that, Jaylen Warren was the main guy, and I'm blanking right now on who the second guy was, but he's pretty good. Let me give you some names. Eckler is going to be one of those guys that I'm going to take in pretty much every draft.
Okay.
Let's say I'm taking Eckler in round nine. In round eight, I'm going to take Tyler Warren of the Indianapolis Colts every single time. And so while I can't say that he's a late-round sleeper, this tight end is awesome. And I don't think he's going to be as good as Brock Bowers was last year, but he's going to be better than most of the tight ends in the National Football League. And those are going to be two picks that I'm pretty much going to lock into in every single one of my drafts, Warren in round eight and Austin Eckler in round nine. And then I'll give you another name. I'm kind of marinating on this one. And I know I just talked bad about the Raiders passing game, but I've really liked what I've seen from rookie Dante Thornton in that Raiders offense. He's a guy that could end up being worth a late pick. Tall, lean, fast, long arms, downfield threats. I don't know if the Raiders really have any other downfield threats other than Bowers, but this is a guy who's faster than Bowers.
Got less than a minute here. Did you happen to go to Bears camp? I'm intrigued by what Ben Johnson, that offense, might look like. What do you think?
Okay. So the good news is Ben Johnson is a play designer and play caller. It's going to be a hit. I was watching his practice from the end zone, and I couldn't tell where the ball was after the snap every play. So I imagine the linebackers and safeties that they play will be tough. The biggest issue in this offense is not Caleb Williams. It's the offensive line. And they made all kinds of improvements to it. Five false starts in a practice. Four would be sacks in a practice. And they're playing against Buffalo's defense, and Buffalo's defense is good. But that offensive line is a problem. And Caleb Williams, when he's pressured, was a problem last year. He was a problem at USC when it happened. And so that's going to be the genesis of all my concerns for the Bears offense. Until they get that offensive line fixed, I don't know if they're ever going to be able to meet their potential.
Ooh, that does not sound good for Caleb if that thing does not improve.
No, he's not a top 12 quarterback. He's not even a top 15 quarterback.
Wow. Okay. Well, Dave, awesome advice as always. We look forward to having you on throughout the season again. Drafts are looming. It's draft season, baby. We made it. We're back.
Yes. How many drafts do you guys have this weekend?
I don't think I have one until like a week from now. Right around Labor Day, I've got a bunch of them.
Jason, I'm in the middle of a long college fantasy draft right now.
Nerd.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Yep. For those who are drafting this weekend, good luck.
Thank you, sir. That's Dave Richard from CBSSports.com, at Dave Richard on your Twitter. Coming up in just about 40 minutes, Warren Sharp will join us. We'll talk more NFL with him at 9.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Eniade.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Remember, you can always call us on an open line Thursday, brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows, they're measured to fit the first time. They're installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. Now, EB, I know that you're many years removed from college. Yeah. Many, many years.
Yeah. 1992, then stayed, lived there a few more years.
Yeah.
Until like 95.
Yeah. So now, if you were in college, yeah, and if you were playing football for the Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders is your head coach.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could play for him.
Yeah.
Because we have audio of some of his rules for his players, and all I just don't know if you're going to be able to follow some of the rules.
All right.
We start school when? When, Ben? Tomorrow. No slides. If I see you with, I'm going to send people to campus tomorrow. If I see you with slides on campus, it's going to be a problem. If I see you with a hoodie on in class or some headphones on in class, it's going to be a problem.
Wow.
If I see you sitting in the back of the classroom, it's going to be a problem. Do we understand that?
Sure.
And if you're online and you have online classes and you don't have a shirt on or you got a wife beat on or you have some stupid on that causes a distraction or you walk around during that online session, it's going to be a problem. We good with that, guys?
Sure.
Now.
Now, good for him.
Now, you're not wearing your slides today, but I know slides are a staple of your wardrobe. If you, yeah. I mean, you just couldn't play for the Buffs.
No, I mean, obviously, I would abide by the rules.
Now, it's a little hypocritical because while he's delivering this speech to his players, and he's a coach, he can do whatever he wants, he's wearing a hoodie, which kind of made me laugh.
But he's not in class. He's not being a distraction.
He's not in class. And again, he's the Bulls. He can do whatever he wants.
I think he means you can wear a hoodie, but he doesn't want you to wear your hood up with your headphones on.
I get it. But
do you still do that at the poker table, Kings, with the sunglasses?
No, this is so hacky, but only if it's really cold. Like, if it's super cold, I'll throw my hood up.
Like, in the studio right now? It's like 50 degrees in here.
I feel like it's great in
it's
here.
It's so cold.
I'm wearing shorts and a thin long-sleeve shirt, and I'm
good. You're not freezing?
No.
I'm freezing.
I'm not. But that just made me laugh. When the first thing he says is, no slides.
I mean, can't wear the slides. You get it. He's trying. He wants the guys to take it seriously and have a professional thing. And, you know, it can be a bonding thing, I guess, maybe for the guys. I don't know. I think I would abide by it.
Mm-hmm.
He has a standard.
Sure.
Yeah, he's trying to set a standard.
Remember, Randy Edsall infamously banned do-rags from his players at Maryland.
That's right. He did.
Were they big at the time? Because, I mean, honestly.
I mean, I think people wear them. Like, regardless.
I don't really remember people wearing do-rags. I mean, I guess my buddy Scotty wore them. Right. But I never wore them.
Well, usually
do-rags.
Black people wear them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still remember riding the golf cart with Randy Edsall around campus. I still have a note from Randy Edsall.
You do?
He was really nice.
Yeah, he gave me a handwritten note, said he was going to use one of my silly plays in his practice. He's clearly joking. I'm sure he's going to use one of my dumb flag football plays.
Yeah.
The Randy Edsall era. How quickly we forget.
Look, I think Deion might be difficult to play for some reasons, but I'm okay with that, kind of having a standard. Yeah, I think that's cool. You know, he wants to be like upstanding citizens. I like it.
The interesting part now with the NIL is it was always kind of assumed that college football players, college basketball players, mm-hmm. these top athletes, their academics, for the most part, is a joke. Now, when they're making millions of dollars, what are they doing?
Well, I mean, at some point, that money's going to run out. They're not going to get that money every single year. They should try to be getting degrees so that they can do something post-college. I mean, only a very small fraction of them are going to make it to the pros.
Yeah, but what is the larger statement? What is the original statement that you
made? I just think that the academics is even less important now for like these top players in particular who are making the money.
Sure, if a guy's going to be a one-and-doner, then I think so. But for the vast majority, it's not, right? The vast majority of guys.
I guess
it's
so.
Not for the one and done.
Might be harder to actually, like, imagine if you were getting just 50 grand a year.
Oh, 50 grand a year while I was in college?
Yes.
Oh, I'd be having keggers every other weekend. I'd blow through that money so quick.
Short-lived stuff. That didn't change, you know.
I get it, but when you're 18 and 19, you're not thinking about a 401k.
No.
Yeah.
Think about it when you're older, though. Think about it a lot.
Well, the basketball, I don't know what the football money is, but I know the basketball money for guys like at the back of the bench, it's crazy. You know, guys that barely play, mm-hmm. it's crazy. I guess we heard a story about a backup quarterback that's getting paid a couple hundred G's and he knows he's never going to play.
Right.
unless there's an injury.
It's a great deal.
Couple hundred
it's a great
G's
setup.
Yeah. While in college.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, we could barely scrape enough money together to buy food and cheap beer in college.
Right.
And these guys are making six and seven figures. It's insane. But good for them. They're making money.
I wanted to thank again Pupatellas when we went out there. They were just so amazing. I just love Pupatella. You know how spoiled we are with Pupatella. Surfside, the Crop Metcalf.
We've got it good.
We're pretty
got
spoiled.
A lot of good sponsors. I mean,
not to mention non-sponsors like Jim Van Stone who hook us.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Drabby, if I was you and you lived right near that Chantilly Pupatella, I'd be there all the time. It is such
a
hookup.
I go there a lot, yeah.
It is such a hookup. I asked them if they'd seen Valdez lady, and the guy that was there yesterday, I think his name is Josh, he said he hadn't seen him in a couple weeks.
I know. I haven't been there in a while.
I don't know what you're doing. Well,
he goes to the other one, too. He splits.
Oh, you split your time?
I have gone to the Rustin one, but mainly I go to the Chantilly one.
Well, he's also probably trying not to abuse it. You know what I'm saying?
They actually get a kick out of it. They seem to love it. I mean, I walk in there, and they just immediately... They're so excited.
They saw you walk through the door. They put a smile on their face.
They immediately recognize you and they start saying,
"I've used it a couple times, and whenever I've used it, the card that I present to them, it vexes them
because
those are the one I go to.
Oh, because they're not used to it.
The Chantilly one, you don't even have to whip it out.
They're like,
what
is this sorcery that you're providing me?
Yeah,
because I give them the order. And the order's like this, and then they ask for the payment, and I hand them this nebulous black card.
Which location is that?
This is the Columbia location.
Oh yeah, Columbia. They're not.
It's
dead.
Off the beaten path.
Did you bring friends or did you go solo?
Oh no, I brought an army.
Oh, you did?
I mean, I had it was four of us. It was four of us.
Post golf,
post round, chilling. It was great. We had all the appetizers. Guys ordered a drink. I mean, it was good. We had great pizzas. Everybody ordered a pizza. It's great.
It's and their specialty.
If you get there from 4 to 7, you get the happy hour pizza, right? Oh. So you get the, I think it's half off. I mean, it's a joke.
What difference
half
does that make?
Free. I know.
They actually pay EB to get the pizza.
Yeah, but if it's half off free,
that's a great deal.
In theory, there is a limit to the sorcery, but you know, when you get half off, it's even you're doubling up.
There's less limits.
Yeah,
it's limitless basically.
It's pretty cool.
When are you in that area next?
I'm not sure. I extended the invite. I feel
I know
good. It's fine. You couldn't come.
I had to pack for the beach and Hurricane Aaron.
What is your? I don't even know where you're going. What is your beach thing?
I'm going to Ocean City after the show today.
Okay, and so you're going to be going. What day is today? Thursday. So you miss tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is it a golf trip?
No. A bunch of friends.
Oh, just the boys or group?
A secrets trip.
We're heading to secrets Friday.
Of course, it's a secrets trip.
Yeah. Everyone wants to see secrets.
Right. And then, there's
a big storm coming in. Let's bring you secrets.
Are you staying in a silly condo, or did you get Airbnb?
Ocean Pines.
Oh, that's right. It's like Valdez has his family has the Ocean Pines spot, and I think his fiance's family has something, right?
Yeah.
So he's got options.
I don't know anything about Ocean Pines. I've heard the name a million times. I don't know where it is.
How do you not know that in all those years?
First of all, I haven't been to Ocean City proper in probably 20 years.
Okay.
Secondly, I don't know what Ocean Pines is. Is it
it's just a little community before there?
It's a community right
a couple
before
miles
the bridge.
Outside of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just on a fact.
Nothing wrong with the question.
I'm on a fact finding mission over here.
The only reason I know it is Zomerco used to have a place there.
Yeah. Okay. It's a nice, nice little spot. You get your own little parking over there too for the.
I am better because I don't know if we're going to be able to go in the water.
Sure you can.
Because
don't
of the
go
bacterial infection, all the fecal matter?
No, the hurricane and high...
The riptide.
The riptide and high surf.
I'm not paying any attention to this hurricane.
Valdez.
Is Jason getting pummeled? Is Oak Island getting pummeled?
Well, the Outer Banks are getting pummeled.
Yeah, Outer Banks pummeled.
Pummeled. Uh-huh. You can go into the surf, just don't go out too far. Go in like halfway up there.
No, your
shins.
I think it's actually closed.
Oh, like, the beach is closed.
No, you can go on the beach. But you're not allowed in the
in
water.
The water, okay.
Mm-hmm. There'll be some guys that go in anyway. They just, you know, they love that stuff. But I think it's crazy.
Bung Bung Beach.
You know? I guess the water temperature still be good, right? It's still be good right now?
Probably
might be a little chilly with the rain, but.
Right.
Did you guys see Mel Kiper's Orange Crush Big Board?
I did not.
I think maybe he updates them every year.
I'm not sure I understand this. What do you mean an Orange
Crush? He has rankings of the best Orange Crush.
Mel Kiper is known for his big board with prospects.
Right. So he's got one
for... Well, now he lists the restaurants, their Orange Crushes in order. Yeah. But they're all... Like Ken Island and St. Michael's places. There's none. I didn't see any on the Eastern Shore.
Is that where he lives? I know he's like. Does he live around Ken Island?
I think he's a Baltimore guy.
I thought he was Baltimore.
But maybe he's got a spot out of the Eastern Shore. That sounds very Mel Kiper-ish. Yeah. Very Maryland centric.
I believe Foxy's and Red Eye's Docked Up Bar are two favorite places.
You know, the
Orange Crush was invented at Harborside Grill in Ocean City in like 1992.
Yes.
Sell it.
So Sup Dogs didn't make the list.
Sup Dogs.
Well, I doubt he's ever been.
He's not going to go there.
I know. I'm just saying.
I don't think Mel Kiper's ever left the state of Maryland. Yeah. How would he know? he's never even been to Virginia. Right. That guy.
He's not still doing a show with Vinny Serrato, is he? That's long. That's
Mel Kiper.
Yeah. Didn't he do a show with Vinny Serrato years ago?
Maybe
a radio show.
I don't know.
By the way, in 2014, Mel Kiper sold a house in Annapolis. I don't know where he moved to after that. This first thing came up.
Did he sell it to Anna in Annapolis? She Mel Kiper's baller house? She might be.
He sold his Chesapeake Bay house for $2.59 million
in
2014.
Good for you, Mel. Good. Way to go. All right, don't forget, Warren Sharp is going to join us coming up at 9. We will talk more NFL with him in just about 20 minutes here on The Fan.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
News for horny dudes at the gym. A fashion staple at the gym appears to be going away. Guys that like to stare at chicks at the gym working out.
Wasn't this a Valdez move at one point? No?
Apparently, workout leggings, dead.
No.
Force really? Them out for workout leggings.
What are girls wearing instead?
Leggings are the... Are you talking about leggings like old school, like Olivia Newton-John from Let's Get Physical, which they wear at the bottom?
Like Lululemon stuff.
Those aren't going away.
Rather than breaking sweat in the skin-tight togs, I don't even know what that means, gym rat Gen Zers now prefer loose-fitting, baggy sweatpants or shorts while exercising. Leggings are going the way of the dodo bird.
Do you notice that?
I see some shorts, but it's usually... Look, I was at Lifetime Fitness last night, and I saw plenty of women wearing leggings. I do see some shorts. I do see some shorts.
Right.
But I didn't... I can't remember one just wearing baggy sweatpants. That's not a thing.
That's not really a thing, I don't think. Maybe if you're some crowded gym where you got a bunch of dudes that are known to be like... You know, guys that like stare at chicks, you know, maybe I could see that.
Researchers for Edited, who did the study, found that consumer interest in leggings has plummeted from 47% to 38.7% since 2022. Due to the drop in demand, top
48% of what?
I guess of legging sales, consumer interest in leggings.
Well, just be that people have bought so many pairs that they just have enough, they don't need to buy as much?
It says, due to the drop in demand, athletic brands such as Nike and Adidas have, quote, scaled back leggings investment this year.
Yeah, whatever.
Apparently, Lululemon, though, still all in. that's their brand. That's their go-to.
My kids, of course, my daughters, they go to Lululemon. They like to buy thrift stuff too, and they do all the trendy things. I went into Lululemon because I do have a pair of shorts or two and a golf shirt from there. I do get annoyed that they basically don't have sales. I mean, they do have their "we made too much" sale that they do or whatever.
It overstocks.
But like when you go in there, it's just very I have hostility towards full retail.
You want a bargain.
I just don't like going in there and you see eight different, let's say, guy pants that you want. Maybe you want to get some version of it. And they're all $118. Like, it's every one. Like, I hate that they don't have sales. I hate stores like that.
this is what the Gen Z women are saying. I'm so embarrassed, insecure about wearing leggings. I hate how they fit me, how they fit so tight on me, and you can see like the structure of my body. Leggings are so uncomfortable. I effing hate leggings. It's body dysmorphia.
Maybe for some, but I think that that's a rare. I think most people think that leggings make them look even better.
I'm not going to accept this from Gen Z. They can stop drinking alcohol they want. Yeah. They can stop having sex. They can stop eating cereal or whatever makes them happy. You're going to wear leggings and you're going to be happy about it.
This is what I don't understand.
You're not going to take that from us.
The leggings are supposed to keep the jiggle in.
Yeah, my daughter says that the leggings make you look snatched.
I know, but
snatched is the word.
That's the word.
That's a hurting word.
That word could go a lot of different directions.
They're wearing baggy sweatpants.
I'm telling you, maybe some.
I just can't accept that.
Yeah.
I mean, they wear wide leg jeans all the time, the mom jeans, and that looks terrible.
The mom jeans is a trend.
You're drawing a line in the sand.
Hopefully, that is dying. My oldest daughter's beautiful. I mean, she wears the mom jeans because that's what the other kids wear, and I think they're trifling.
So they're taking
big,
the mom
big ass waisted open waisted jeans. I mean, they're trifling.
They're bringing mom jeans to the gym, right?
I mean, I guess
baggy sweatpants are the mom jeans outside
pretty
the gym.
Much.
I'll look for it, but I haven't seen it.
I don't think it's I work out myself.
This is Gen Z, though. This isn't like your wife's friends or anything
like
that.
Like my kids. What are my kids? What is Meg? Meg's 22 years old.
Yeah, Meg's Gen Z, yeah.
Yeah.
The gym is full of 20-year-olds.
It's starting now. I mean, there's numerous articles about it.
I might notice it now.
Brad,
I'm going to be on the lookout.
A sign down to your local gym and protest.
Yeah.
Start a movement.
If I get desperate enough.
Say no baggy sweatpants allowed.
Now, I did just say like a week ago on the show, I don't look at women in the gym because I'm afraid of being singled out. Yeah. I keep my head
you
down.
You don't want, is it Joey Swole? You don't want him
doing
it.
I don't want to be on a Joey Swole video.
What's Joey Swole's
deal? The creep
deal?
In the gym.
He's the gym sheriff.
Yeah.
All right. He shows guys peeking.
I need to know more.
He's
a bodybuilder that offers like responses to viral videos of the gym. Either
he's an encourager of people, not shaming people. Like, say a morbidly obese person is at the gym on the treadmill, and somebody's making fun of that person.
Yeah, that's
for
not
being
cool.
There, like that's he's going to call them out for it. Like stuff like
cool.
that is what he does.
I like that.
But if you're also being a
leering.
Creep at the gym,
yeah.
you can end up in his videos. Or he calls out women who are shaming men when they're not doing anything wrong.
And he got off Twitter.
Yeah, he's the gym police.
He got off Twitter like a month ago because he made a controversial post about Hulk Hogan, and he got canceled for a day or two, and then he came back. I know too much about Joey Swole.
How does Bickle not know who Joey Swole is?
I don't know. He sees a million reels. I don't know how he's never seen Joey
Swole.
Maybe I've
seen him.
You've probably seen him, just don't know who it is.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I always see the natty or not guy. He goes around and asks everybody if they're natty or not.
I've never seen that guy.
Yeah. And they never are. I mean.
Like a natty, like no.
Yeah,
like
you're not on testosterone or anything.
Yeah, I've never seen that guy.
Yeah. He's basically
like.
Mocking all the bodybuilder guys who have claimed for years that they're natty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pretty much people own it.
Got it.
And then they just start talking about all the tests that they take and, you know, whatever. Speaking of, are you still out on that? Yeah, you're out on that, right? Because of the hair.
Well, I'm not personally out on it. My doctor has informed me that I'm not allowed to take TRT for a couple of years.
So then you are out on it.
Well, I'm following.
It's not his choice.
It's not my choice.
It's doctor's orders.
Dr. Burka says we need to let the hair grow. We can't be messing with it with any.
Smart.
And muscle enhancement.
He's a smart guy.
Is there any movement? I saw you had a text exchange with the guy who was going to maybe do T-tests for us.
No,
any movement?
Not yet. Still working on that. Right now, we're focused on Terry McLaurin.
I'm not.
That's the T-test.
I'm not
like, Terry McLaurin.
Hey, the T. Hey, scrap the Terry-o-meter. We're going to start doing T-tests.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
I feel confident mine will be decent, but my brother mocks me, and he says you'll be shocked. He says you'll be shocked.
I have no clue.
Is his tea super low?
Low.
Oh, really?
Low.
Your brother has subterranean tea?
It's low tea. He says it has nothing. He says, trust me, it has nothing to do with how horny you are.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Dr. Burka, he did text me yesterday and said Cakes is an absolute donk. telling people to take five Advil on the radio?
I said
I think absolutely not.
More towards four.
You said four easy, five if you want. No problem.
Well, they do tell you you could take 800. I know they tell you you could take 800.
No. 800 is prescription strength.
Right. I mean, I do take it all the time. Like yesterday I took five.
Cakes is telling people to take 1,000 milligrams of
I'm not
Tylenol
a doctor.
Of course you're not. That's why you should be telling people.
I'm a goofball DJ. Yeah. Why would anybody listen to any sort of medical advice I was giving?
I took five Advil yesterday. It didn't really help. It didn't affect me. It was very disappointing. And now my buddy was saying he thinks it's because sometimes I'll take two or three Advil before I play golf anyway, and that maybe my body's used to it.
Mm.
I don't know.
But I need
took
a cortisone
five.
Shot. Cortisone.
That is my
medical advice. Go get a cortisone shot.
Dr.
Cakes is in.
No, cortisone's amazing, but you can't do that too much.
What are you bona fide?
The last time I did that, guys, you ever hear of Georgetown? You ever hear of that institution?
Cakes is bona fide.
Kind of shut me down.
He once got a C in AP biology.
yeah.
You're the furthest thing from doctor material. And meanwhile, you've bred a doctor.
Yeah, These genes must create a real doctor.
Must be recessive genes. Yeah.
Now, they're in here somewhere. They're somewhere floating around in here.
Right.
I don't know exactly where.
I'm thinking that's from the Wertheimer side.
Very well could be. It's somewhere in the genetic cocktail.
Yeah. You did it. Ask Kurt.
How many Advil can you safely take?
For sure you can. My son took six before games. I know a guy played in the NFL. He took nine.
All right.
Not great for you. So I'm not recommending it, but you don't die.
How many Advil can I take at a time without dying?
Yeah, right.
Okay. It's sent.
All right.
Sent. I'll give you the update on the other side. When we come back, Warren Sharp is going to join us, and we will talk all things NFL with him next.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.